When Isaiah foretold the birth of Jesus, he prophesied that Christ would be called the Prince of Peace. Here's Barbara Rainey.
I think that's very significant, and I think it's because God knows how desperately we need peace. He knows far better than we do how broken we are, how desperate we are, how lonely we are, and how much we need His peace.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of The Wonder of His Name. For November 19th, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh. I want to ask you something. Where do you search for peace? I mean, as we approach the holidays, I once thought the perfectly decorated house was the key to feeling the Christmas peace, so I'd stress myself like crazy in one weekend, decorating like my life depended on it. Each year had to be bigger, brighter, better. But it was just distracting me from true peace. So now, I spend a little time on my heart, filling it with thoughts of Jesus' birth. Then I decorate for maybe an hour, day by day, a little at a time, with the focus on my heart first. My house isn't quite as grandly decorated as it used to be, but true peace just evaded me when I thought it was all about getting everything organized and obsessing about the condition of my house without considering the state of my heart. Today, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth and Barbara Rainey are wrapping up a conversation. Wrapping. Did you see what I just did there? Wrapping Christmas. Anyway, the conversation is about cultivating Christ-centered holidays. They're going to talk about how knowing Jesus as the Prince of Peace impacts your day-to-day life, especially in these particularly busy seasons like the holidays. I hope this series has been encouraging to you as you consider how to put Christ as the focus of your holidays. You know, we're able to bring you messages like these through the help of friends just like you. Revive Our Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, which means that with every donation you give, you're partnering with us to help women thrive in Christ. You can be a part of offering hope to women who need to experience the freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. If you'd like to join us in that mission, you can give online or over the phone today. Plus, this month, with your donation of any amount, we'll send you the brand new 2022 Revive Our Hearts wall calendar. And I am really excited about this. It's both a beautiful piece of art and a declaration of truth that you can hang in your home. Our team designed this calendar as a reminder to stay grounded in God's promises in every season. And this is also a perfect idea for a holiday gift giving or a way to express your gratitude to your Thanksgiving hostess. These calendars make great gifts. Visit reviveourhearts.com to give or call us at 1-800-569-5959 and request your calendar today. You'll also find a place there where you can purchase more if you'd like to buy some for gift giving. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. Now, here's Nancy.
Our guest this week has been my friend Barbara Rainey. She and her husband Dennis are the co-founders of Family Life. It's a joy, Barbara, to have you with us here on Revive Our Hearts today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And we've been talking about holidays.
We have.
Making them holy days and not getting caught up in all the trappings and the chaos that goes really pretty much from now for the next month or so.
That's right.
In our Western culture, for sure. And then everybody kind of, you know, drops dead at the end of December, depressed and in debt and distressed. And boy, we want to help our listeners. And I want to, I kind of several years ago said, I'm declaring war on the stressed out holidays, and I haven't conquered it. But I've been very intentional in recent years about dropping some things that just aren't essential.
And saying, I have to.
I just want to simplify, simplify, simplify. Maybe we're getting older. We are getting older.
Well, that is part of it. But I do think it's also some acquired wisdom that helps us see that it's just not all that important. Think without realizing we too often take our cues from the world. And because the just the pressure of the world to get to do the shopping and all of that stuff. And without thinking, we take our cues from the world. And so to not do that, it takes a concerted effort to stop and say, okay, who am I listening to? Who should I be listening to? And what do I want the holiday celebration, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and others, what do I want that to look like in my home? Because I have control over that. I don't have to do everything that everybody else is doing. I don't have to have a gazillion parties and send gifts to everybody that I know. I mean, we all spend a lot of money on cards and postage for something that is going to go in the trash. And when you stop and look at it that way, it's like, really, why am I doing this then? And so it's good for us to pull back and look objectively and pause and say, who am I listening to? Who am I getting my cues from? What is most important and what does God want me to focus on? And that's the whole purpose for what we're talking about here. We're talking about making the holidays meaningful. And when we say making them meaningful, we say making them spiritually meaningful. It's not making them meaningful with Santa Claus and Elf on a Shelf and all the secular things that are available, because those don't really bring meaning. What brings meaning is the story of Christ, because that's what Christmas is all about.
And other-centeredness, Christ-centeredness first, but also giving. As we're talking, Barbara, I'm thinking back. My dad has been with the Lord now for years, but I'm remembering on Thanksgiving mornings, and maybe Christmas too, I'm not sure, but I know on Thanksgiving, he would make phone calls to some widows and would let them know that we were thinking about them as a family and to just, you know, encourage them. Mm-hmm. And I don't do that every year, but I've picked that up and try and make some calls the day before the day of Thanksgiving to people who may have experienced a loss that year or people who have who may be suffering in some way, just to pray for them, to maybe read a scripture to them. And I don't spend hours doing that, but just some way to be thinking of somebody other than myself.
Yeah, I
on
agree.
That holiday. And do I remember you're sharing with me something about at Christmas, how you handled gifts and giving with your kids? Didn't you do something special with that?
Well, we did, and it's nothing really fancy, but I knew as a child growing up, my brothers and I would get the catalogs that came in the mail, the Sears Roebuck catalog, which was about 3 inches thick in those days, and we would pore over that catalog as kids and look at all of the things that we wanted.
And
we would,
and of course, it's not just a Sears catalog now. No, it's a zillion other catalogs.
There isn't a Sears catalog anymore, but there are multiples in its place. And we would focus for hours on what we wanted to get for Christmas. And when I became a parent and I had my own kids, I thought, I don't want my kids spending hours thinking about what they want to get, thinking about what can mom and dad give me, what can Santa Claus give me, or whomever. I want them to think about giving, because the truth about Christmas is that it's a season of giving.
God so loved the world.
I was just thinking that
he
verse.
Gave
exactly.
His son.
It's not a verse we typically associate with Christmas, but it is about Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because of the gift of Christ. And so we give gifts to one another to remember the gift of Christ. And so in our family, Dennis and I made a conscious decision that we wanted to teach our children to focus on giving, not on getting. And so for the whole month of December, as we helped them when they were little or even when they were teenagers, the focus was, what are they going to buy for one another? What are they going to get for their grandparents? What are they going to, who do they want to give to that is a good friend at school, perhaps? But what do you want to give? What do you want to say in that gift? And so the way it worked in our family practically is that on Christmas morning, instead of it being a free-for-all where everybody runs into the room, finds all the gifts with their name on it, tears into all the presents to find out what I got, we would come into the living room and everyone would gather from under the tree the gifts that they purchased for everyone else. So each of us, Dennis and me and our six children, were sitting around the living room, and around our feet or next to us in a pile were the gifts that we bought for everyone else in the family. And we would take turns one by one. So whoever went first, say I went first, and I would give you my gift. You would open my gift, and then it was your turn to give. And you would look at your pile, and our kids really got excited about this. They'd look at their pile, and they knew what was in all those boxes.
Right.
And they were thinking, oh, do I want to give Benjamin his present, or do I want to give Ashley her present? And they would They would wrestle over that, and they would pick out the one they wanted to give that they couldn't wait to give. And they would walk across the room to that sibling, and they would say, "This is what I got for you." And that sibling, that brother or sister, would open the gift. And then it was their turn to do the same. And they would look at their pile. They would think through, what do I want to give? Who do I want to give to? And so our Christmas gift-giving celebration often lasted until 1 o'clock in the afternoon because we focused on the giver and on who that person wanted to give to, because those gifts were purchased or made with a lot of thought and a lot of intentionality for that person. And so when you have a free-for-all, all of that is lost. It all the meaning goes out the window. But when we focused on giving and the act of giving and the process of giving, then the focus became much more intentional. There were it was focusing on the relationship and the love that we had for one another. And we often would stop at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning and go have breakfast and then go back and finish. And it made the day so much more meaningful for us as a family because we focused on the giving of gifts to one another rather than on what we were getting.
I love that. Just a shift in focus and shift in perspective.
Yeah, it didn't cost any money. It didn't take a whole lot of effort. It just was being intentional to help our children think about what Christmas was really about as opposed to having a self-focus for the Christmas holiday.
I love that. And how like God, whose focus was on giving to us the best gift that he had and could possibly give, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know it's not even Thanksgiving yet, but, you know, our attention is turning quickly to what we can do and how we can be intentional about keeping a Christ-centered focus throughout this holiday season, making it a holy season as we anticipate the advent, the coming of Jesus to this earth. And it's not too early to be thinking about this. As we've said, the world's been thinking about it all year long. For months, they've had stuff up
That's
and out.
Right.
And this is the time when I start playing Christmas music in my home. And boy, I surely wouldn't legislate this for anybody else. But for me personally, I want Christmas music that is Christ-centered.
Absolutely.
I love the
Me
carols.
Too. Me too.
I don't personally want to hear Frosty the Snowman.
No, or, I don't either.
Jingle Bells, or I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, but there's so many rich and beautiful, of
exactly.
all different styles, carols. So I have them on my iPhone and playing through speakers in my house almost continuously for the next month, just trying to focus my heart on who Christ is, to worship him. And that music is one way that I do that.
I agree.
In my home. But you've helped us to focus on the names of Jesus. 7 names of Jesus that relate to his birth and to Christmas. Well, I want to focus today on one particular name, the Prince of Peace. I love this name. I love them all. But the Prince of Peace, you think about peace, that's something that, for one thing, the world is in short supply of.
Very.
We think of all the wars going on in the world and the conflicts,
yeah.
but our families need peace. Our hearts need peace. And if there's any time of year we seem to be lacking peace, it might be the busyness of this next month. So what is knowing Jesus as the Prince of Peace? How does that bring us peace? And why is that a name that we really want to focus on at this time of year?
I think it's very interesting that when God foretold the birth of his son, he listed 4 names in the book of Isaiah. And one of them is Prince of Peace. And I think of all the names that we know about Christ, that this would be one of the 4 that he would choose to identify him as and to let us know this is who is coming. I think that's very significant. And I think it's because God knows how desperately we need peace. He knows far better than we do how broken we are, how desperate we are, how lonely we are, and how much we need his peace. And so that is a title of Jesus. He came to earth to be our Prince of Peace. And it's not even just us adults who need his peace, but even our children need his peace. Our children experience, you know, as a mom, I just hated it when my kids had difficult things in their lives or when someone at school was mean or something bad happened at school. Or even when my kids, I remember one of our daughters, she would anytime she would catch the news, she was a particularly sensitive child. She would see something about a car accident or a war or something on the news, and she would start crying. And that child, my daughter, needed to know the Prince of Peace. And so it's wonderful for us during the Christmas season to be able to focus on these names of Jesus that were spoken of him in the Luke 2 story about his birth and from Isaiah in the foretelling of his coming, because those names are very significant to us and they help us know him. And when we know him, not only do we worship him, but we can experience some of what he came to offer by understanding what he offers us.
And we look for peace in so many other places.
Oh, we do.
We look for it in relationships.
Constantly.
We look for it in stuff.
Constantly.
We look for it in parties and food and shopping. And the more we look for those inner needs of our souls to be satisfied in this world, the more distressed and dissatisfied we become.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the message of Christmas is Christ came to redeem us from ourselves and from this world and to give to us that deep sense of soul rest and satisfaction and fullness that we can't find anywhere else.
That's right.
So he's not just a nice option for our lives.
Right.
He is the Prince of Peace, the supreme and only giver of true peace.
Exactly. And I think even those who don't know Christ long for the Prince of Peace at Christmas, because even at Christmas, you can hear Christmas carols being played in stores that are not Christian stores, they're not Christian bookstores, and I think it's because intuitively we all know we're broken, we all know we're lost, even though millions of people would never admit it. But we long for the Prince of Peace because we know how desperate our need is for that. And I think we feel it more acutely at Christmas, perhaps, than any other time of the year, because we know that's what Christmas offers. We know that's why Christ came, but we're so unable to find it on our own. So when we learn about his name and we learn about who he is and what he offers, we can learn more about how to experience that peace that only he can give us.
And I thought it was interesting on the Prince of Peace that you told that wonderful story about the background of the writing of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And I know a lot of us have heard that story, but I never get tired of hearing it.
I don't either.
Just remind us how that hymn was written and how it points us to Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Well, I included that story in there because, well, for several reasons. One is that it's my favorite hymn of all times. It was my father's favorite hymn, too, and he died 2 years ago, and we sang it at his memorial service. And it's the kind of hymn, it's the words that we all need to hear. And the story is that
And for those who are, It Is Well With My Soul, that's the one that starts out, when peace like a river attendeth my way.
When sorrows like sea billows roll.
So, and some are experiencing, some of our listeners
are experiencing
those sorrows rolling like
the waves
of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the background of this story.
The background of the story, I actually learned when I was homeschooling my children, we discovered this story, and it was just very life-changing for me, because the story is about a man named Horatio Spafford, who was from Chicago, and he and his wife and his daughters were making a trip to England. And for some reason at the last minute, he was not able to join them. So he sent them by ship, which was their means of transportation in those days, across the Atlantic. There were no planes. And so his wife and four daughters boarded the ship and went on ahead of him. He attended to some business details, and then he was going to follow on the next ship. And as they were nearing the coast of England, they encountered a bad storm, and the ship broke apart and sank very, very quickly. And his daughters drowned, and his wife was only saved at sort of a last-minute thing, and it obviously was the sovereignty of God, but she managed to be on a plank of wood that supported her weight, and she was rescued. And so a telegram was sent back to him announcing that all of his daughters had perished in the sea, and she alone survived. And so when he did get on that next ship, and he crossed the Atlantic Ocean, when the ship got to that spot in the ocean where the other one had gone down, he stood on the deck at the rail, and he ended up writing the words to this song, It Came to Him. And you just, to put yourself as a parent, as a mom or as a dad, in his shoes and to think, what must that have felt like to be on the deck of that ship, to be looking in the water and knowing that your four beautiful, beloved daughters were entombed there? What grief, what anguish, what sorrow. And as he wrote, sorrow like sea billows roll. He must have been overwhelmed. And yet he wrote these words, when peace like a river attendeth my way. That kind of peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. That kind of peace is not human. It's not natural. We can't work it up on our own. It is a gift that is only given by the grace of God from the Prince of Peace.
And to be able to time like that to say, it is well with my soul. It's astonishing.
It is astonishing. I think it speaks to all of us that all of us know that peace is unattainable on our own power. We try, as you said earlier, in lots of different ways, but ultimately we all know we can't find peace any other way. And so when we learn about Jesus as the Prince of Peace and we remember that name in particular during Christmas season, when life is so busy and so crazy and we're frazzled and we're stressed and we're tired, but we pull back and remember, this is about Jesus. This is about the Prince of Peace. And he came to offer me this peace. I need to partake of his peace. I need to welcome that gift that he came to give me into my life. And I can be peaceful through the season of Christmas if I will focus on him and receive that peace that he alone can offer.
And your family can have peace. That doesn't mean everything will go well. It doesn't mean that there won't be any heartache or sorrow. This man, Horatio Spafford, had sorrow galore
in his life. He had peace. And if he can have peace in the midst of losing his four children all at once, then I can have peace as well.
But if we're not focusing on Christ, we're going to be subject to those storms and
Absolutely. Those
waves. They're going to take us under. And I know during the holidays, they do take a lot of people under.
That's right.
There's a lot of sorrow. There are broken families. There are broken relationships. There are financial challenges and stresses. And just in the best of circumstances, it's a stressful and busy time. A lot of things you got to go to, things you got to do. And my prayer for our listeners is that these next weeks between now and Christmas Day will be joyful, they'll be faith-filled, they'll be Christ-centered, and they'll be full of peace because our eyes are not on anything or anyone other than Jesus. And my prayer is that those who do have families, those who have children or grandchildren, will take advantage of this opportunity to point their families to Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Consider him. Thank you so much, Barbara, for helping us get our hearts tuned and our eyes fixed on Jesus as we head into this holiday season. And I know, Barbara, your heart and mine for our listeners is that this will be a holy season filled with the peace of Jesus Christ.
I agree. I totally agree. That's the goal. That's why God wants us to celebrate these holidays, is that we would step out of our crazy lives and focus on him.
How will you fix your eyes on Jesus this holiday season? Barbara Rainey and Nancy DeMoss Wagemuth have been giving us some inspiring and practical ways to remember our Prince of Peace, even when times get crazy. If you missed any of their conversation over the last few days, you can, of course, find it all on the Revive Our Hearts app or on our website, reviveourhearts.com. And also on our website, you'll see the 2022 Revive Our Hearts wall calendar I mentioned at the beginning of today's episode. And this month, we'd love to send that to you when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry. Visit reviveourhearts.com to give or call us at 1-800-569-5959 and ask for that wall calendar. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Next week is Thanksgiving. I hope you're already thinking about what you're thankful for. Nancy's going to take us through Psalm 100 as she explains why God is so worthy of our praise.
God is good, but I'm not. That's why I need a Savior. So the goodness of God, it brings us to thanksgiving, it brings us to praise, it brings us to repentance. We need a Savior, and we have in Him a Savior.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth is calling you to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.